Welcome to Rams Up, a Los Angeles Rams podcast. We are a proud member of the Pigskin Podcast Network. We cover other SoCal sports news of interest, but we're mostly about your Los Angeles Rams. I'm your host, Mark. Let's get to it. Welcome back, Ram fans. Season 2, Episode 13. We've got a nice little episode here for you. And before we get into it, I wanted to remind you, next week, early next week, we'll be dropping our draft roundtable. That's going to be a lot of fun. Paul Walia, Tom Kortz, and I discussing all things NFL draft, especially with regards to the Rams. That should be fun. This episode, my special assistant, who prefers to remain anonymous, is no longer. His name is Matt, and he's going to be joining us. Matt loves the Combine and the Senior Bowl and watching these NFL draft prospects on tape. And he's got a few that he is just in love with, and he's going to share his thoughts on those players. That's coming up here shortly. But it's worth mentioning, after we had that discussion, Matt called me up and he said, hey, I left out one of my favorite guys, Matt Ariza, the punter. Now, from my mock drafts, from what I have seen, Ariza will not be there when the Rams draft in the sixth round. Talked to Matt about that, and he's just saying, you know, I'd love to have this guy. I'd love to have all the great players, actually, right? But realizing the Rams probably won't get a shot at him, and even if they do, hey, there's other guys I love too. So maybe not seeing Matt Ariza come to the Rams, but just wanted to point out he is a guy he is also in love with. Watch the tape on this guy. Watch the tape on this guy covering kicks. That's special. And things have really taken a turn for the worse in San Francisco with regards to Deebo Samuel. At first, we thought it was just that normal churn, a wide receiver wanting a new contract, but it's gone south pretty quickly, and he may not be a 49er. Even as early as the end of this upcoming draft, something could happen. His brother posting on Facebook, he won't be a 49er. That's all that matters. Again, this could all be just a bunch of churn. Maybe he'll get a new contract out of this, but can't deny 49er fans have to be worried about Deebo's future with that team. Meanwhile, there's Cooper Kupp. With all this going on, someone had to ask him, how does he feel about a new contract deal? Is he deserving of one? Does he want the top contract? Does he want to be the highest paid wide receiver in the league? Couldn't really blame him if he did, though. But what did he say? He said, I'm not trying to beat anybody. I'm not trying to compare myself to anyone. It's more about being in a place that's just right for both sides. Love, Cooper Kupp. And how about the Dodgers? Freddie Freeman launches one in his first at-bat against his old team. So nice to have Freddie back in his hometown of Los Angeles. I really enjoy watching him play. Great addition for the Dodgers, and the Dodgers off to another great start. So before we get to my discussion with Matt, let's get into what I'm calling my X factors, those individuals in the NFL that have the potential for impacting the NFL playoff picture this year. We'll get to that in 1 second. The NBA playoffs means next level basketball. Get in on the first round of action with DraftKings Sportsbook. At DraftKings Sportsbook, all DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also bet on NBA hoops with same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN. Bet $5 on any NBA team to win their game during the first round of the playoffs, and get $150 in free bets instantly. That's promo code TPPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. was actually in the car the other morning and was lucky enough to capture part of Colin Cowherd's show. Joy Taylor was actually hosting the show. Colin was out. This was last Friday. And Joy was listing the 10 X factors for the NBA playoffs, and it got me thinking, with the meat of free agency behind us, the draft coming up, who are the NFL X factors looking ahead to the 2022 season? Which individuals are going to impact the NFL playoff picture in the chase for the Super Bowl? And I'm not talking about guys like, let's say, Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. It'll be really interesting to see how those two guys progress, but whether they take incredible strides and become great players next year or not, I don't think will significantly change the playoff picture and who is going to have a reasonable chance of getting to the Super Bowl. And there's a lot of guys that fall into that category, but I'm talking about the 10 guys that could really impact the NFL playoff picture. So who are these guys? Who are the 10 X factors? In no particular order, I'm going to start with Jalen Hurts. I mean, remember, the Eagles were a playoff team. At times they looked very competitive, other times not so much. But they're in that NFC East, and if Hurts continues to improve, and clearly the Eagles are going to give him a chance to take the reins of that team and see what he can do. They're kind of loading up to draft a quarterback next year, but Hurts playing for his career on a pretty good team in a horrible division, if he steps up and plays well and has a great year, the Eagles could win that division. And if they can win that division, hey, who knows? So I'm calling Jalen Hurts my first X factor. My second X factor is Kyler Murray. Now, same old story. Cardinals start out 7-0. Things fall apart on them for a variety of reasons. Now there's all that drama going on. So the interesting thing about Murray is it's not so much how he will perform. He's kind of an X factor right now because of all the drama going on between him and his team. Some people saying he's not even going to play unless he gets a new contract. Hey, maybe he'll be playing baseball in a couple of months. Who knows? So Kyler Murray, an X factor. Without him, the Cardinals really don't have a lot of hope. I mean, I guess they could find a way to get into the playoffs, but without Kyler Murray, are they a reasonable Super Bowl contender, a viable Super Bowl contender? I would say not. Now, without Kyler Murray, I'm telling you, they have no chance at the Super Bowl. I would never go that far because they said the same thing about the Rams in 1999. Every team in the NFL has a shot, but I'm talking about a reasonable opportunity this year to win the Super Bowl. Without Kyler Murray, Cardinals, I'm a no on that. My next X factor is the only one on this list that is not a player. I'm calling Kevin O'Connell an X factor. The Vikings have a team loaded on the offensive side of the ball, but they've been led by a defensive-minded coach. If Kevin O'Connell can step in there and get that offense rolling, that McVay-style approach, the Vikings could be a dangerous team. And that NFC North is winnable. The Packers do not have this locked up like they have in years past. Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings could be a sneaky team this year. Kevin O'Connell is the leader. I think he is. Vikings have a bright future. Kevin O'Connell, another X factor. The next X factor, probably kind of obvious, Russell Wilson. If you watch closely, Wilson is not the same quarterback he was a few years back. But he may not need to be with that Bronco defense and the weapons he has. But he has to play well. His play cannot deteriorate too much. So the X factor, Russell Wilson, is he a pretty good quarterback? If he continues to be a pretty good quarterback in that Bronco system, he's definitely an X factor. And very similarly, Tom Brady is an X factor in my mind. At his age, his performance has to drop off at some point. I mean, if he's just three quarters of the quarterback he was 5 years ago, the Bucs are going to be standing in the Rams' way for that NFC conference title. But if he slips a little bit, loses some arm strength, gets banged up a lot easier. Who knows? At that age, I'm telling you, it comes fast. I know from experience. I don't care how hard he trains. I don't care how dedicated he is to maintaining his personal performance levels. It's going to come one day where Tom Brady cannot play at that level anymore. My next X factor is Tyreek Hill. Suddenly the Dolphins have a lot of weapons. Done a great job in free agency, adding significant parts. But Tyreek Hill, man, he could really change things for the Dolphins. If the Dolphins can figure out how to use him correctly, along with those other receivers they have and the young quarterback, we'll see. He's definitely an X factor if he's just another receiver on another team outside of that Chiefs dynamic offensive system. Dolphins don't really improve that much, but if he's the Tyreek Hill we saw for the last few years on the Chiefs, watch out for the Dolphins. Remember, they were 2-7 last year and then won 6 straight, finished 9-8. Have a very good defense. Hill could be enough to secure the Dolphins a wild card spot. I don't think they have what it takes to knock off the Bills for that AFC East title, but could definitely be a strong playoff contender. My next X factor is the Rams entry, Allen Robinson. Now, the Rams are going to be a playoff team regardless, in my opinion. I mean, anything can happen, but I fully expect them to be in the playoffs. Isn't that a nice feeling? Wow. But if Robinson cannot be a good complementary receiver to Cooper Kupp and become a great red zone target for the Rams, if he's a little disappointing in any way, the Rams could struggle against really good defenses. I guess what I'm saying is Allen Robinson could be the difference between the Rams being a playoff team and a Super Bowl champion. He's got a lot of pressure on him. We're assuming OBJ is out. We don't know what's happening with him. But if it's Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, Van Jefferson, and the other guys, Allen Robinson is definitely an X factor. Rams need him. Another X factor, second to last one here, Matt Ryan, joining a very good Colts team, had quarterback issues with Carson Wentz. You know, I haven't paid much attention to Matt Ryan, to be honest with you. Why would I? That Falcons team really going nowhere with him. But I've always thought he's a good quarterback. He's definitely a good quarterback getting up there in years, but he could be the answer there, a steady, productive quarterback that has won in the past. Throw him in there on a really good Colts team. X factor, Matt Ryan, definitely. And my last X factor, again, this is in no particular order, but Trey Lance. If he's just average or a little bit above average, if he just basically meets their expectations for a second-year quarterback taking over the reins for the first time, the Niners are a playoff team. If he is above and beyond that, hate to say this, the Niners could get to the Super Bowl. And if he plays poorly, Niners could miss the playoffs entirely. So Trey Lance probably the biggest X factor now that I think about it. Because, you know, with Tom Brady, if he falls off a little bit, Bucks are still in the playoffs. If he continues to play at that level, Bucks could win the Super Bowl. Same with Russell Wilson, some of these other guys. But Trey Lance, his performance could dictate whether the Niners miss the playoffs entirely, maybe just another playoff team, or they could win the Super Bowl. So those are my X factors for the 2022 season. Now, this could change, obviously, after the draft, and if there's any significant free agent signings, maybe even some trades, so we'll see what happens. But those are my 10 X factors for 2022. Hey everybody, this is Mark, and I have a special guest here today, Matt, my special assistant. He's been asking to come on the show to talk draft. How you doing, Matt?
Doing good.
So the first thing you wanted to talk about was not necessarily these top 10 guys in the draft. We all know who they are. You were telling me there are some guys that are still highly touted, late first, early second, that you wanted to talk about, six or seven guys that you really loved. So tell us, who are these guys? Who are these guys you really like?
Well, first I want to start with one guy that I like that he may end up going in the top 10. And then I'll speak on some other guys that more or less the bottom of the first round, early second. And that's Drake London, the receiver out of USC. He's 6'5". He's probably about 210 pounds. And he is a mean receiver. If you look up his highlight tape, he's looking for contact, and he's running guys over. And he's also, when you're 6'5", you know, he's built similar to like Mike Evans or even the other USC receiver, Colts, that in the second, Michael Pittman. But he could play in the slot, play outside, jump ball receiver. He's one of those guys, you throw it up and he's going to come down with it. So if you're looking for a fun highlight tape, you want to watch some guys on YouTube, he is a fun guy to watch.
He's probably not a speed vertical threat type of receiver. That may be the one thing missing.
Yeah, I think that's probably his biggest question mark, is separation. If you watch his film, he doesn't need it. You throw it up, he's going to go get it. And he's coming off an injury too. He fractured his ankle at USC.
Yeah, I get him mixed up with the other USC Drake. They got an edge guy named Drake as well, right?
Right. Actually, I was going to talk about him too. I'll mention him later because I think he's a guy that could slip in the draft that fits a Rams' need if they want to move up and maybe try to get him.
Okay. Who are your other guys later in the first round, early second, perhaps?
I'll stick with the receivers, and this next guy, I'm kind of hesitant to mention his name. They have like these pre-draft, like the combine workouts. It's not the actual combine, but before that. And I guess supposedly he showed up like 20 pounds overweight. And as soon as you hear that for a receiver, like that's just like a red flag, you know? But you watch him on tape, and this guy is explosive. He reminds me of, I guess I should mention his name, huh? It's Treylon Burks, the receiver out of Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at him right now. It's funny when you say, I hesitate to mention his name. With me, that's because I can't pronounce it. But Treylon Burks out of Arkansas.
Yeah, he's a big boy. Kind of like that AJ Brown, Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf type receiver. You get him the ball in screen game, sweeps, even Cooper Kupp, the yak god. Those type of receivers are kind of taking over the NFL. Those big receivers are almost the body size of a tight end.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see more of that. It might have started with the Rams running the jet sweep, and then following that, these other teams, how the Niners use Deebo Samuel, the Seahawks use DK Metcalf. That could be the next wave, these big physical receivers that kind of half running back, half receiver.
Yeah, just an extra dynamic, just a weapon. And if his work ethic is where it needs to be, he's going to be a steal. I've seen him going like late first round to the Chiefs. They have those two late picks. But someone's going to get a steal if he can get his work ethic and things like that in check.
Yeah, I was watching the NFL, one of the NFL.com shows yesterday, and Greg Rosenthal and Daniel Jeremiah, they were saying that there could be seven receivers in the first round.
Yeah, there's a lot of receivers I like in the draft. I mean, Garrett Wilson may be the first one off the board. He's the Ohio State guy. And Jason Williams, he's the one that tore his ACL in the national championship game. Jameson Williams kind of reminds me of like that Tyreek Hill type of guy. And yeah, there's definitely some scary receivers in this draft.
Okay. So you got the USC receiver, the Arkansas guy. Who else?
So let's move to my favorite player in the draft, and I've told you about him before. It's the Iowa State running back, Breece Hall.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of love from a lot of places.
I've loved him for a long time. And, you know, every year there's always like a running back or two that goes in the first round. And like Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the Chiefs went the back end of the first. And I don't understand why he's not going in the first round. I know running backs aren't valued in the first round, but if you're a team that, like, for example, like the Bills, who they have a good roster, and if he falls to you, he is the most complete back in this draft. He can catch. He's got size and power. He's got it all. And he kind of reminds me, when I watch him, he has that patience, that Le'Veon Bell patience behind the line. And then when he sees a hole, he hits it. I don't understand why I see him going in late second round, early second round. And I don't get it, because that guy's going to be a star.
It's a copycat league, you know, and everybody's shying away from running backs in the first round. And but that could mean someone's going to luck out and grab this guy. Daniel Jeremiah was talking about Breece Hall, and he said that the question was, you're an NFL team, you're on your own 10 or 15 yard line, and you got to drive the field for the winning touchdown. Which running back in this draft do you want? And he didn't hesitate. And he said Breece Hall, because he's a 3-4 down back, never leaving the field. He can do everything.
Yeah, he can do everything. He's complete. I think he had he has an NCAA record for, I think he had 24 straight games with a touchdown. Yeah, he reminds me, when I watch him, he really reminds me of Joe Mixon. And I think they have similar body types. But he can catch too. And yeah, he's the real deal.
Okay, moving on. And who's your next guy?
I'll kind of stay on Iowa State. This is a late round guy that I kind of like that could be there on day three. And his name's Charlie Kohler. He's a tight end there. He's a big boy, 6'6", 260. And I think his weakness is, you know, he's not as good as athlete as some of these other tight ends that are going to go on in day two. So that's probably what he'll slide. But when you're 6'6", just that red zone threat, I watched Iowa State quite a bit. That's such a weird sentence. I don't know why I was watching Iowa State so much. I feel like they were just on during the time that I was watching college football. And he was Brock Purdy is the quarterback there. And I just feel like whenever Brock Purdy needed to make a play, he was his blanket. You know, he would always look to Kohler, and Kohler would always step up and make a play. And I like him.
I've seen people mocking tight ends to the Rams, and I'm just not sure they would use that first pick for a tight end. They might have to draft that guy. But, you know, the thing, as I said in my last mock draft that I did, if McVay loves a tight end, he's gonna draft him, you know, because right. He loves tight ends. So it's just a matter of how much McVay loves him. I
assume eventually they are gonna draft a tight end. After they lost Munt, so I feel like they need to fill a void there. But at the same time, Blanton stepped up in the playoffs. So who knows? I'm done projecting offensive linemen to the Rams, like. Every year, like even last year, like it was a guarantee they were going to draft a center.
Right.
And they don't, and they're happy with Brian Allen, and he did work out. So,
who's your next guy on your list?
So I guess while we're on, I'll stick with the tight ends. My favorite tight end in the draft is UCLA guy Greg Dulcich.
Yeah, I have him circled too. He looks like an NFL tight end.
Yeah, I think his weakness, like his the blocking, you know, he's not the blocking tight end, but man, he's a weapon. He's always open. And after the catch, he had a big game against LSU. But yeah, I love him. He can really be that outside tight end, slot tight end. He can line up next to the defensive line too. But I've seen him going like end of the second round. Trey McBride's the other top ranked tight end that those two are going in similar areas. I said like end of the second round, early third. So I doubt they're there for the Rams, but maybe one of them will slide. But McBride is the one that I think McBride and Dulcich are the two top tight ends that'll go I assume McBride will go one. He's a complete tight end. He's also a Ram. He's a Colorado State guy.
Okay. Anyone else you need to call out?
The last guy, I figure we've got to talk about a quarterback. All these quarterbacks, there's some sort of area with them that scares you away from taking them. So there's a guy like Sam Howell, North Carolina. I'd much rather spend, if I'm looking for a quarterback, my second round pick on him than take one of these other guys in the first round. He was projected to be the top quarterback taken, but they lost their two of their top receivers. They lost two NFL running backs, and you could tell like they have no weapons. They have one speedster, and that was it. And every play, he's getting hit. And I feel like if he gets drafted the right situation, he's not going to be ready right away. But he is a tough son of a bitch. Like, he runs people over. And I know you are always scared of the running quarterback because if they get banged up. But he can still throw the ball. I think he has the best deep ball in the draft.
So you don't see him as a guy the Rams would or should draft?
No. I just figured we got to talk about a quarterback. And
it seems like there's so many of these quarterbacks that get drafted in the first round that are such a disappointment. And then there's these guys that are taken in the third and fourth and fifth round that turn out pretty darn good. So I guess that's probably true of every position, but quarterback is such an investment. You just got to get it right.
And speaking of fun tape to watch, I mean, check out this highlight tape. You will run people over. If you were to turn on his game in the middle of the game, you'd see him like running over a safety. You'd think he's like some tight end, some fullback. He's not sliding. And at the next level in the NFL, obviously he's got to learn to do that. And he has some impressive runs and he's good.
Sounds like he'd be good in the red zone, you know, 2 or 3 yard line type of quarterback that can take it in for himself.
Right. And he can still throw. Like, it's not like he's not like a, he's a dual guy.
Is that it for your, for that group of guys you wanted to talk about? Did you want to move?
Yeah, I think so.
So there is another group of players that you wanted to talk about that you think were at one time rated highly and for one reason or another have kind of fallen by the wayside in a lot of mock drafts that you think at this point, you can get them at a point where they'd be considered steals. And I guess the quarterback you just talked about is probably one of them.
But yeah, all three of these guys at one point were projected top 10 picks, or like one day like when they were freshmen, like these guys could be high first round picks. And for whatever reason, they slid. And the first one I want to talk about is, how far is David Ajabu going to fall?
Yeah, I don't know. Is this one you're going to compare? Is this a Terrell Lewis situation?
Right. Well, it's like he tore his Achilles. It's like he's not going to go in the first round. I assumed he's going to go in the second round. And it's got to be a team that is comfortable with him redshirting, because he's not Cam Akers tearing his Achilles and coming back so soon is once in a lifetime. Like, he's not going to play this year. So he's going to redshirt. So it's got to be a good team or a team that's comfortable with waiting here. I've seen him go early second, late second. Like, what if he falls to the third?
For the Rams, for a thought for the Rams, he'd have to fall to the late third, right? The end of the third.
Right, but if he's there, pick, let's say, like 80, 85, is it worth trading up to get someone that was potentially a top 10 pick?
If you're asking me for an answer, you know, I don't know. I think the Rams need guys to fill holes now and depth wise and such. But again, I'm not less need. I never discount any possibility with the Rams. You never know what they're going to do, and other teams as well. But would they potentially make a move like that? Yeah, sure. I think they would, but I would probably bet against it. But yeah, and they're a team that can look down the road. They're all in every year, right? They're going to be all in with or without that guy. But talk about projecting a year down the road, adding a top 10 pick
And they're comfortable with their medical staff getting a guy that tore his Achilles, that, you know, they have the right people. But I assume he'll go beginning of the second round. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, the Chiefs traded back with their two picks and go to a team like that, or go to a team that's established early in the second. But I thought it'd be worth mentioning, if you start seeing him sliding, like, how far will he slide?
Yeah, you almost have to do some research and find a team that's, you know, probably a contender already, and two, maybe a team that has a good edge rusher who's going to be a free agent next year, you know, that type of situation.
Right. And that's the case for these next two guys I'm going to mention. Like, they'll probably end up going beginning of day two, but what if one of them drops? I wonder if the Rams could move up, or maybe they'll drop to, I doubt these guys drop to 104, but maybe. So the next guy I'll talk about, Drake Jackson. That's the guy that you mentioned earlier. He's the USC edge rusher. I've seen him. I think most mocks have him going in like the 50, 60 range.
Yeah, I don't know much about him. I know I've seen him all over the place in mock drafts.
Yeah, so, he never really put it together. I know when he came to USC, he was a top prospect, but he just never really put it together. But he flashes. If you look up, you'll watch him, and you can see why.
Okay, so he's a guy that you see maybe slipping into the third, and then if he does, the Rams start looking at possibilities to move up and grab him. And there's one other guy you feel the same way about?
Same situation. I remember looking up mock drafts. I always look up mock drafts at like the end of the current draft. And last year I looked up one, and DeMarvin Leal, Texas A&M guy. He was top five pick in every mock I saw.
What position?
He's a D lineman. He can play anywhere on the D line. And I think the Rams are going to draft a couple. I wouldn't be surprised if they draft a couple D linemen and an edge guy.
They have Greg Gaines and A'shaun Robinson are both unrestricted free agents next year. So on my mock, I have them at least trying to come out of it with two defensive linemen.
Right. And this guy's a monster. I doubt he falls all the way to the third round, but maybe one of those three guys I mentioned do, and Rams can either move up a couple, give up a couple picks and move up.
And by the time you get to that 100th pick, the Rams are actually in pretty good shape. Yeah, they've not made a pick yet. But from the 100th to the 263rd pick, last pick in the draft, no team has more picks than the Rams. The Rams have 8, as do the Jags. The average pick count per team after the 100th pick is 5. So at that point, they'll have to draft capital to move up a little bit if they want to. They can move around.
And you know less need. You know they're going to move around. So,
is there another guy, or is that it?
There's one more guy. It's so hard to try to project who the Rams are going to pick, especially at 104. but there was one guy that I wanted to mention that I could see just fits the Rams style of player that they draft. And that's D'Angelo Malone.
Oh, right. I considered him in one of my mock drafts. He's an edge out of Western Kentucky. Is that right?
Yep. And the main reason I'm mentioning him is because he was a Senior Bowl standout. And you know how much the Rams love the Senior Bowl. But yeah, he was awesome in the Senior Bowl.
I think they have decided that the combine gives you a little bit of information and maybe confirms a couple of minor details, but the Senior Bowl is the best measure of how a guy will play against NFL talent.
He can be that edge rusher. He's athletic. He could drop into coverage, get after the passer. Kind of reminds me of Oko a little bit. So maybe you could fill that spot.
Yeah, I almost feel like, you know, if you could do a little data mining and identify a guy that, one, performed well in the Senior Bowl, two, was a team captain, and three, his grandfather was a coach at Rutgers. You know, they're going to draft him.
Right.
Those are like the three things that they love: team captains, guys that come from a football family, and guys that kicked butt at the Senior Bowl.
Right. Yeah, I've seen him going in fourth round mocks, one mock, I'm going in the sixth round. So
was that the guy you had mentioned that you were, there was another later round guy that you really, really liked?
That was him.
D'Angelo Malone?
Right.
Yeah, I think in my, I can't remember now, one of my mock drafts, and I've go back and listen, I think I considered him for, I want to say it was the fourth round pick, but I don't remember. But he seems like a solid player. So you think the one thing that I learned from this more, one thing that stands out is you seem to think the Rams will draft a tight end. And I had kind of discounted that again with Les Snead and Sean McVay. You never know, it seems like they're always trying to solve the tight end thing. And then Tyler Higbee just started to produce so consistently that, you know, I'm not saying that they fell back on Tyler Higbee, but I think Tyler Higbee rose to the occasion. But I still have to wonder, looking forward, if they still think they need to find a tight end. And it sounds like you think they do.
Not really. I was just mentioning some tight ends I liked.
Oh, okay. You mentioned Johnny Munt moving on.
I guess so.
But, I mean, Johnny Munt was never really that impactful. I mean, my take on the Rams' current tight ends is Tyler Higbee can kind of do it all. He's never going to make a Pro Bowl, but he's pretty darn good. Kendall Blanton seems to have the receiving aspect down. Bryson Hopkins, a little bit of both, but he looks like he doesn't look real athletic, but he does bulldoze pretty well once he has the ball in his hands. So I don't think Hopkins or Blanton are the tight end of the future for the Rams, that's for sure, but they're good pieces.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so any last words on the draft from an overall perspective or from the Rams' perspective?
I don't think so, unless there's any players you want to...
Well, the problem with the offensive line is, like you said, you don't know how the Rams feel about some of these guys. I mean, for all we know, Bobby Evans is the next right guard. It's probably Coleman Shelton. Yeah, Tremaine Ankrum, is he a guy they're going to count on? To be honest with you, it's not a lot of fun looking at offensive line tape, you know, so you don't know... you know, who the Rams might like and where they think they have a need. But I still kind of think they're going to draft an offensive lineman just because of the fact David Edwards, Havenstein, and Evans are all free agents next year. The question is, do they spend an early pick or a couple of late picks? And then, you know, they need the defensive lineman as well. It's kind of the dilemma with the Rams, the way they operate. You go into the draft and it's kind of like over the next 2 years, they better hit on those late draft picks with guys that they can coach up and plug in somewhere. And then cornerback. I mean, they need a cornerback too, right?
Yeah. And you know what I'm curious to see is if they end up drafting any guys from Kentucky with Lee and Cohen being there. I wouldn't be surprised. He's going to have some inside information. Even guys in the same conference as Kentucky.
Yeah. The one guy I think I mocked to the Rams in one of my drafts was the interior offensive lineman Luke Fortner out of Kentucky, supposed to be a great locker room guy, high character, can play any three of those interior positions. So I thought the same thing, maybe because of the coaching hire out of Kentucky, they'll have their eyes on Luke Fortner. But I thought the same thing last year when the Rams hired the offensive line coach out of Stanford, but they did not draft a Stanford offensive line.
Right.
Okay, I think that's good stuff. I think we can end it here. I appreciate your time. This is a good lead up to our draft roundtable we'll be doing next week. Give some food for thought for Tom and Paul and myself when we get into that discussion. I may plagiarize some of your information if you don't mind. Pretend like it was my own. Okay, thanks a lot for your time, Matt.
Yeah, no problem.
Do it for this episode, and remember, we have our draft roundtable coming up that should drop early Monday morning. That's going to be a blast, so check that out, please. And remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. You can visit our website at ramsup.com. And don't forget to subscribe and give us that 5-star rating. It's greatly appreciated. And remember, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.
Music courtesy of bensound.com and the YouTube royalty-free music audio library, Crimson Fly by Humma Humma.